This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. 60 minutes on the clock as we take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Right about now is the time that we remind you, if you missed any portion of today's show, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab at the top of the website. You'll see Usual Suspects. You catch up on what you missed. And while you're there, if you download the app, which is easy to do, you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and listen all across the Houston area, Texas,
the Lone Star State.
We had Steelers fan Juan chime in from Denver. He listens every day.
Yeah,
so,
a Pittsburgh fan from Houston and Denver. Pick a side. Confusing. Could you just pick a side, bro?
That's kind of like being a Niner fan, LSU fan, Saints fan. Never mind.
You don't want that smoke.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of fans out there, Barry.
You don't want that drunk smoke. All right, some text from the text line. We haven't done text all day.
As opposed to text from the Twitter line? You said it, not me.
All right, Dad, settle down. first one was, what do you think is most likely? Patriots going 16-0 or the Dolphins going 0-16?
I'll say the latter.
Dolphins going 0-16,
yeah. Correct?
When you look at the Patriots schedule versus the Dolphins schedule, I was trying to see, did the Dolphins have, do they face the Cardinals or something like that? No, they really don't. They've got a pretty tough schedule, all things considered. They face the Giants in week 15. That might be their only win.
They're not beating the Giants.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
You think they go 0-16?
I think they want to.
You don't think they, I don't think they beat Dallas, the Chargers, no. Washington, Buffalo, Pittsburgh.
They might be losing with a purpose, so therefore they want to do it.
They might beat the Jets. That's at home. If the Jets don't have Darnold, they might beat the Jets.
What week is that?
That's week
he'll be
nine.
Back.
That's
he'll be back
nine.
By then.
Oh, will he?
Yeah.
All right. Then they got the Colts, the Bills, the Browns, the Eagles, the Jets again, then the Giants, then Cincy, and then New England.
See, the Dolphins want to lose them all, which is so much easier to do, and you control it so much more than a situation like the Patriots, who try as they might to win them all, they're still going to end
up in a game
or two that they didn't expect.
And they've got obviously their division games. Buffalo might catch them at home in week 4 or something like that. But they still have to play Baltimore. I think that could end up being a good game. It's on the road. They're on the road in Philly. They got Dallas on the schedule and the Chiefs. So they do have four games. You know, that they may not go 4-0 in.
Yep.
So I think I'm with you guys. I think after looking at the schedules, probably a safe bet if you were betting Dolphins.
I mean, I don't think either is going to happen, but I would say the Dolphins scenario is probably
more likely.
You
don't think the Dolphins
going 16? Huh?
More likely.
He said he didn't think either one of them.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins win a game.
Yeah, I do too.
I just don't.
I think they luck into one.
Okay. You mean a pick that they didn't want to catch that they ended up running back or something?
Huh?
With that quarterback situation, with as badly as everybody wants out, it's not like they're going to put their butts on the line and give you extra effort when they need it too.
Well, you never know. I mean, hell, Texans almost lost to the Jags without a quarterback.
But they were trying to win. I don't think the Dolphins as a unit are going to try extra hard to win if they know what they're getting from support from the organization.
True, but those guys are playing for, you know, other things. Some will be playing for jobs next year. Some will be playing for tape for other teams. So there's reasons to go out there.
But that's why most of them are going to try to avoid getting hurt so that they can get the hell out.
Still got to put together a good film.
Okay.
Hey, thanks y'all for the tickets to the Longhorns game. They were very good seats. That's Bill from Beaumont. You're welcome, Bill. Glad you won.
Mm-hmm.
Barry was in rare form in the woods shaking hands Saturday night. Yeah.
First you shake hands in the woods, and then you eat nuggets off the seats?
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
That's why your eye's twitching.
That's exactly right, Nick. Well played, sir.
Like I said, half the crowd had no idea who I was. They were just there for comedy. Salt of the earth, folks. All wanted to come up and shake hands, so I didn't want to be rude. And, you know, it's a bunch of old old hillbillies. They don't know about fist bumps. If you ball up,
Brandon was a hillbilly. He completely respected the no shake rule.
Yeah, he wasn't going to. But they, you know, they were. I'm not going to have some, you know, 75 year old man that don't know who I am and don't even know what fist bumping is, and he sticks his hand out.
Especially with
you're pretty damn funny, son. I was like, what am I going to fist bump this dude? So I mean, once you shake one hand, it's over with. You might as well shake them all and then just go wash.
With those signs all over the bar, if you ball up your fist and you're out by,
might try to fight me.
You might by Kuntz. They might take you down, buddy.
So yeah, I was just like, whatever. A lot of times after shows, I'll just shake hands and then just go wash my hands because it's just easier than trying to fist bump everybody. And but yeah, a lot of the suspects that knew, they would walk up and I was
Friday,
like, it's all right.
They all knew, yeah.
Yeah, but at the show, I was like, it's okay. We can shake hands because it's I've already got these nasty hands. I won't even go into details. Yo, Marky Mark here got a question. Do y'all think Antonio Brown is getting suspended this week? Nope.
I don't think so. Did you see the Jeff Darlington that had it come out during the games themselves that he had a settlement discussion in April with the female that's bringing up the charges, which included mediation in May, culminating in a deadline last Sunday night to sign a monetary agreement that would have ended the sexual assault claims against him, rumored to be $2 million, and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
He refused to sign it, and now we're here.
Apparently that happened before he signed with the Patriots,
correct,
too. So
did you hear where Robert Kraft said if he had known, he wouldn't have signed him?
I did
not. Bro, you're going up. What are you talking about? Like, why would Kraft say that, though? I'm not saying
because
it didn't
he meant it. That's a look for all the issues.
No,
that they've
I'm
had,
saying I'm saying he should say that. I'm saying coming out of him, like,
oh
know,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
But he actually came out. Sources, well, he didn't come out. Sources very close to the organization said that Kraft said, had he known, and this goes back to our discussion on Friday that we got into, had he known, had they been honest with him, he wouldn't have signed Antonio Brown. So I think that says a lot. I mean, you know, this is an organization. I forget the guy's name, but it was a similar situation, and they just cut ties with him. They're like, look, you've got these sexual assault charges, or you know, all this stuff is pending. We're just done. We're not going to mess with you. Just get out of here. So I think that they could avoid that because let's face it, after week one and the way that offense looked, and you still have Gordon. You've got they had enough. I'm sure they feel like with Tom Brady, they had enough weapons on this team without Antonio Brown. Now they're just formidable, but they already had a really good offense, and they didn't necessarily need Antonio Brown. But that's just kind of sealing. That's their Zach Greinke. That was like, well, we already had a great rotation. Now it's just.
But the Pats are going to pat. You know, they're not going to walk away from an opportunity to make themselves better, regardless. And so they, you know, again, we talked about this with the Bill O'Brien situation and so many others, where are you obligated to tell the truth and tell the media everything or not? Are you just obligated to answer the questions? Because fact of the matter is, we know the Patriots are never going to give you a straight answer. And what happens and what they tell you publicly is probably not even close to scratching the surface of what actually happens behind the scenes. But the bottom line is they're not going to pass on an opportunity to take a one-year flyer on one of the best receivers in football.
But it also – it is something to say. It does say something to me that he actually denied the settlement. Like, I think that's still a statement. It doesn't necessarily mean he's not guilty of anything. But his cousin Marquise Brown is one of the unnamed players in the case, and he is a rookie wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. And if you go back to the Ray Rice situation, I guarantee you Baltimore is doing everything they can to be cooperative, not only with the NFL or any type of organization that they need to be cooperative with. And I feel like if Harbaugh is saying, I'm not worried about this at all because of Marquise Brown being an unnamed guy, then I feel like they know a little bit, and there's probably nothing to it. I'm not saying that the girl didn't get hurt, but I'm just saying she may not have a case. And that's an unfortunate situation if it did happen. But
now, what is the part about Marquise Brown? I'm lost. How does
Hollywood Brown's his cousin?
Marquise.
Why is
Brown,
he involved in?
He's
this?
A name. He's named in it. He's named in the case
as a witness or as an assailant.
I believe it's a witness. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, that's why he's not worried.
But the NFL is going to speak with him.
Yeah, well, that's why he's not worried though. He's not worried about him being involved. He's just worried about him having knowledge.
Well, I'm just my whole point is the Ravens have to know something about this as well if their players involved. And they don't seem fazed about it either. That's my whole point.
But they're not. Yeah. He's not the one literally being accused.
Yeah. Right. No,
big
he's not.
Between
he's not.
Being accused and just being a witness to it
being
or having
named.
Knowledge of
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, look, when you look at the whole situation, and we go back to our conversation the last week, and I don't want to regurgitate all of it, but the fact of the matter is Drew Rosenhaus is just he's not going to offer that up to anybody because he wants to get as much money not only for his client but for himself, which he knows damn well. If that was out there and on the table and multiple teams knew about it, that's damaged goods. No one's touching that dude.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that.
We'll see what happens because evidently she's meeting with the league today, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of all this because you're right. I mean, you look at the fact that that came out and that that was April and May. So one of two things, either he's cheap and he just didn't want to pay, or he firmly believes he has that a good he has case.
That's what I feel like. That's what I gather. From what I gather, I feel like he has a pretty good case.
You think so?
I really do.
My instinct when I hear something like that is he's probably just a little cocky. Like, I could beat this.
Maybe. That could be it, too, for sure.
Like, she doesn't have any definitive proof. Yeah. Like we had consensual sex enough that no one's going to believe it.
Yeah. I mean,
because that's the case. And I think that's where a lot of times guys in that kind of situation fall into a trap. Well, we've had consensual sex before. Yeah, but it has to be consensual every time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then guys get cocky and they're like, yeah, well, nah, they won't be able to prove that. Well, don't be so sure.
Exactly right.
But that's just my thought. I don't know if that to be the case. But when I hear something like that about you could settle it for $2 million and be done with it. And plus you're like, nah, you know, I'm not going to settle. I think I can beat this, and $2 million is too much. I would settle for $1 million, but you know, so there might be something to that, or maybe you're right. Maybe he's just rock solid in his alibis. I don't know.
I'm not sure what to use that analogy, but
a couple people saying that my eye twitching might be because I need potassium.
Well, banana that's and for you.
Mark Shell said ease up on the caffeine.
That I think I've heard before. That's possible.
I've heard about that too. Caffeine and eye twitching.
Yeah, and you do go excessive on the caffeine.
I've heard that.
But I've never changed how much I have.
Doesn't matter. There's a boiling point for everybody.
Okay.
And we all know how it went the last time you tried to ease up on your caffeine. And it was hell on Nick and I too.
Okay. Hey, one more thing. Mito said, would one of you guys take a chop, a WWE style chop to the chest from Booker T and put it online?
No.
Nope.
Okay,
this is your deal.
If you're gonna say yes, Barry, I will totally ask Booker for you.
Neither of you would do that. You're that scared.
For free?
Dude, you're the guinea pig Super Dave Osborne that does this kind of stuff with the sniffing the cocoa and
hold
all
on,
the other things.
Hold on, let's get
Booker. But it's WWE style. It's not an actual chop. It's the what they would do in the ring. So you're saying
what wrestlers do is fake. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be the fake chop, not a real chop.
I really hope Booker T.
It would
in
be
the
a slap chop. No, that's a thing you would use. Never mind. It would be like a. It would be more of a slap than an actual chop with the blade of the hand. Still no, Joel?
You haven't answered yet.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
See, there you go. That's what I was waiting for.
Actually, you know why?
Why do you like to bait the hook and just dangle
it? Honest to God, I would do it. I totally would do it. But if I say that, you guys are going to make me do it, I'm just not going to do it, but I would. I'm not a wimp like you two.
Okay.
I would do it.
Because you best believe either one of us would have a conversation.
That was the most confusing answer in the
history.
About
making sure
I would do it, but I wouldn't do it. But if I'm forced to do it, I might do it.
No,
and if I'm not forced, I will do it, but I might not.
If I thought it would make a material difference in our ratings, I would absolutely do it. But if it's just for the enjoyment of somebody seeing me get slapped, they can kiss my ass.
You should totally do it.
How about you come up and get chopped? Me too? Yeah, I didn't think so. But I would totally do it if it would help ratings. So just so we're clear.
There's the Me Too.
I am a ratings whore. I would do it for that. But not just so you guys could laugh.
Me Too could come up here and do it, and then it could be part of the Me Too movement.
I meant Me Too. Shut up.
All right, we'll be back with much more. Don't go anywhere. It's the final hour of the show. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, everybody. You know how we like to do it around here. We like to give back to the suspects, those that are loyal listeners to our show and all the shows right here on ESPN 97.5. So why not do it right now? 20 years and hotter than ever. No, it's not Nick's last date. It's ESPN 97.5 wanting to send you and a guest to the Texas Hot Sauce Festival this weekend at the Bayou City Event Center. Caller number 11 right now, 713-780-3776, wins a pair of tickets to enjoy the 20th anniversary of this spicy event. For tickets and info, head to TexasHotSauceFestival.com. Good luck.
Why did you do it like that?
20 years and hotter than ever.
What? Why are you doing it like that?
Because it sounds...
Are you trying to turn me on right now, Joel?
It sounds like it's the Texas Hot Sauce Festival.
Mm-hmm. Hot sauce.
You know you want it.
No, why?
It's back for a 20th year.
Boy, it got creepy in here.
The Texas
Hot Sauce Festival. Is it creepy in here, or is it just you?
Yeah. All right, there you go. Caller 11, good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Have fun. A couple of texts. Guys, I'm glad y'all came to the 409 last week. In the interest of Nick, any chance y'all doing the next remote from Curves? That was from L.U. Dillon, who Nick got to meet and was a little intimidated.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm disappointed I didn't get to meet him.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know where you were or what was going on, but he came up and he introduced himself to Nicholas. And
He did. He's
a big swole man.
He's a swole version of Palillo is basically what he is.
Oh.
He's 5'3", 5'4".
But he's a bodybuilder or a former.
He's not a bodybuilder.
Yeah, no.
Don't say that.
He was.
He used to work out or something.
But those guys, those are fake muscles. He's not really strong.
I don't know, man.
Those are fake muscles. You could beat him in an arm wrestling
contest. I don't think so.
I think you, next time we're on remote in Beaumont and you go arm wrestling.
That little height gives you leverage, believe me.
That low base?
Yeah.
It's like when you block in the trenches, low man wins, right? Or a tackle and a running back, right? Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe you could, stab him with your horn while you're in the middle of arm wrestling. I don't know what goes on.
That's just.
See, I went through
a
segment and a half of that.
Nope.
On Friday.
Yeah, you had to endure.
You know what that was for? Your little smart-ass comment on my Instagram. Now we're even.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Punk, what was that about?
Dirty bitch.
What did I say? I forgot.
To borrow from Lance Zerline.
You're upset about that.
He got a little smart. I posted a picture of me on stage on Friday. I was like, through all the ups and downs, I love this. He goes, well, this must have been a down looking how fat you are. I was like,
oh my God, son, Nick,
of a bitch.
Were you drinking?
Probably.
Maybe. I don't even remember.
It's easier just to say, were you not drinking?
I hate it when people ask me that because I'm like, man, maybe, possibly.
I mean, it's pretty much. Am I at work? And then I was drinking.
I was angry drinking at my local bar yesterday again.
You were angry drinking?
Yeah, well, I wasn't angry. I was drinking, and then I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but there's 8 TVs in the entire bar.
Okay.
And then one guy made the request to turn one of the TVs to horse racing. And instead of just changing one TV, they changed 4 out of the 8. I had to get up, move to the other side of the bar just so I can watch the Sunday night game. Because this happened after the Texans game. I was like, man, horse racing is not that important. I mean, unless you're Fred Fowler. But
it's really not that.
It's really not that. Not half your screens.
No, that's ridiculous.
So I was, you know, throwing shot glasses and projecting whiskey on everybody.
No. Are you breaking stuff?
No.
Sounded good at the time, though, right?
Yeah, I did.
Got this text. Hey, nice to meet Nick last Friday. Missed Joel and Barry by 15 minutes. Next time, I'm going to try to make it early and get my shirt. Thank you for coming out regardless.
Yep.
Somebody wants to know who wins tonight, Browns or Jets?
I think we all covered that already.
Yeah, I don't think it's close. I think Browns blow them out.
If you said it's 6.5, I think that's light.
Spread is 6.5.
I do too.
I don't know. Well, it was 6.5 when the show started. Let me see if it's changed. No, it's still 6.5 according to ESPN.
Just on mere talent, even if they're not clicking on all cylinders with Baker, they should still be able to.
This is the Texans versus the Jets, but with more injuries for the Jets.
Vegas Insider has it at 6.5.
I think the Browns win by a touchdown.
You think so?
I think they're going to be motivated in a lot of ways. They got to erase what happened last week. They don't want everybody to jump off the bandwagon that they all jumped on.
Yeah, I think they win by more than a touchdown, if I'm being honest. My bookie has it they're +7 or a -7.
Yeah.
Browns are a -7.
If you can get it at 6.5, I think it's a good bet to take the Browns.
Yeah. I have them for my final. I'm 9-6 this week. And I'm taking the Browns and giving the points.
How much money do you have?
I just do it. What I do is I'll do it by units.
Yeah.
Because I don't bet all the games.
Right.
But I like to see what I'm doing. Sure. So like last week I went 9-7, but I assigned unit values to each bet. Like I had Titans Browns and I had that for 2 units, right? And so I was up 4 units going 9-7 last week.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes this week.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. That's fantastic. So we'll see what happens tonight. Baker Mayfield's got to erase the fact that he threw three really bad picks last week.
Yes. Yes.
So, and that Jets defense is not going to be – they're not a slouch. Offensively, they're limited. But Greg Williams and all the talk with OBJ, they're going to be fired up and ready to play. And if you haven't seen Adams play safety yet for the Jets, you're missing out because that boy can ball and – their defense is stout. It's not bad. So we'll see.
Yeah. The problem is the fact that they just offensively, they're just not going to be any good.
That's right.
I think that's going to really make the game suck. And even if it is a blowout, it's still going to suck. So
I don't disagree with that. So
there's a headline that came out at 2:58 that I really didn't get much to read, but Darren Heitner tweeted out, Antonio Brown has reviewed the sexual misconduct allegations made by an unnamed artist included in a recently published Sports Illustrated article and denies that he ever engaged in such activities. There will be no further comment at this time. So now there's this new sexual misconduct allegation out.
It's going to
denying that.
That's not good.
If you're the Patriots.
So, you know, for people that like, I think the people were scoffing at the fact when I said that a source said that Robert Kraft would have not signed him. Especially if you know there were multiple, you're definitely not signing this dude. If you knew all this baggage was going to be associated with Antonio Brown once you sign him, it's not worth
it. Changes
the
dynamic.
You already have a team that's likely going to make a Super Bowl.
And another factor to kind of consider in all this, too. The Patriots have their investigative team that are really good, whether it be Deflategate or when they had all the tapes that suddenly disappeared and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure that they know enough guys on their security team that does background and research and investigation. Regardless, that's on them if they didn't just decide, oh, yeah, this is just a one-time thing. We'll take his word for it. They should have been doing the due diligence, as Jeff Luno would say, of making sure that everyone available to them from a resource standpoint was giving them every bit of information that they could possibly dig up. So you're prepared. Because the last thing you want to do is go out and make a move like this because you already know you're going to get backlash, but then be unprepared for the fact that there are more and more things that keep popping up.
You want to hear the last part of this article? Pretty crazy. So Brown was hosting a charity softball game where a volunteer, it was to benefit the National Youth Foundation, which is a Pennsylvania-based volunteer group of women that promotes inclusion and gender equality. During the auction, he bought a picture of himself that an artist created.
Okay.
Then he invites the artist to come to his house to create another painting of him. According to the report, arranging for transportation from New York to Western PA, the artist was thrilled. She talked about it on social media. And then things changed. According to the report, which did not include the artist's name, the artist, quote, was in a kneeling position while painting and turned to find Brown behind her naked, holding a small towel over his genitals. The artist said she didn't stop painting before telling SI after that it all ended abruptly. Brown paid her $2,000, the artist, and didn't contact the artist thereafter. The artist is not pursuing charges or remuneration, according to SI, but said that that friends with whom she had shared the experience with pointed out that the lawsuit Taylor filed against the Browns last week. So,
boy, this better not be a Cosby or a situation where there's multiple girls, because,
well, I mean, this person isn't starting pursuing to look that anything.
Way. But it does seem to be there's a pattern.
Yeah. They're not pursuing any, you know, civil litigation at this point, she said. But obviously her friends pointed it out. So,
man, I'll tell you, it's a bad look.
That's a lot of going on. And it makes you wonder, is this all worth the headache? Okay, I'm going to ask you this. Do you guys think at some point, if this continues, if this does not go away soon, that the Patriots just cut bait?
I think absolutely. 100%.
I could see that too.
Yeah.
100%.
There's too much to lose. Brady's getting up in age, but they're winning. And like you said, there's enough talent on that team, especially in the wide receiver core when you still have Julian Edelman. You have Gordon, assuming that Gordon's going to be on the straight and narrow now. You know, you got a N'Keal Harry, a very talented rookie that should be joining them by midseason. So he could be that late addition that gives him a little boost, too. I think at a certain point, if this stacks up for a couple more weeks, you're like, why are we actually doing this again?
Yeah.
Because is it worth it?
I could totally see them doing that.
I could see it, too. I mean, if it adds up, and then more, the bad thing about a lot of these cases is that information tends to get released in pieces.
Yeah.
And when it gets released in pieces, it just makes the person look that much worse. And if, you know, if they're guilty of it, then it should make them that much worse.
And like we said, we would love all the information to come out that day and get all the facts and know exactly what happened. But no one's on our time frame. They're going to do it, and at the right time, all the information is going to come out. We'll find out what we need to know, but are the Patriots willing to endure all of it?
Well, yeah, and if you're the Patriots, what you don't want is these distractions on a weekly basis. So even if no new allegations surface, but these continue to be the focal point of the entire organization in the locker room, after games, after practices, it's going to get old real quick, and you know how Belichick is.
Yeah. Well,
he wants no distractions. None.
He wants to control the narrative from every one of his players and what they even say to the media, as we've all found out.
The nature of the questions is what's going to control, I feel like, Antonio Brown's fate. If it, like you guys say, more and more pieces come out, more things are revealed, and then week in, week out, every time Belichick and company has a presser or addresses the media, they're being asked about Antonio Brown's sexual allegation questions. You know, that's totally going to put...
And even if this all goes away, you're not going to stop AB from being on social media, and that's going to drive Belichick nuts too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So more so than probably any other team, except for maybe here. So those are all things to be considered. You know, with the distractions that we're talking about, Barry was just talking about distractions. You know where there's good distractions? Twin Peaks. That's why you go to one of the five area locations for Twin Peaks, because of the fact that the Twin Peaks grills are absolutely beautiful. They're going to wait on you and make sure that you have everything taken care of when you're at one of those locations and you're trying to watch your sports, because all you want to do is get to a location where it's clean and safe. The food is fantastic. The drinks are cold, and they're done. And of course, there's every screen on everything that you want to watch. Try it out this weekend. There's that big Michigan and Wisconsin football game early, lots of college football on the schedule, and then NFL on Sundays. It's just the greatest place if you're going to get out of the house to watch sports, because the fact of the matter is the draft beers are all 29 degrees ice cold, and they have the thermostat right there at the top of the bar, so you can check out how cold the beer is, and it's always going to be chilled and ready to quench your thirst. And those made-from-scratch menu items are fantastic. And speaking of that, National Cheeseburger Day coming up Wednesday, September the 18th. Score a cheeseburger and fries for just $6. Valid at participating locations, only with purchase of a beverage. If you're a friend of the Peaks, and if you're not a friend of the Peaks, why not be a member now? Sign up today, TwinPeaksRestaurant.com/PeaksClub, and you are going to get all the benefits of not just an average customer, but a VIP. It's a great deal from a great spot that's going to take care of your every need watching great sports. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks. Back in 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere. We'll have the final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate taking us on the go wherever you may be on this Monday. Want to always get back to the suspects. Here's your second opportunity on this Monday for you to win some pretty good tickets. They were grunge rock mainstays, and they're still going strong. It's Stone Temple Pilots. New lead singer is Jeff Gutt, along with the blues rock outlet Rival Sons. They're coming to the Revention Music Center on Tuesday, October the 1st. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and a friend to the concert. You call 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets to see Stone Temple Pilots. Caller 14 right now, 713-780-ESPN. And if you don't win them, you can still get them at livenation.com.
Where's the venue again?
It is at the Revention Music Center.
Okay. I was at the House of Blues over the weekend, Barry. I wanted to tell you. And I saw Justin Willman. Are you familiar with Justin Willman?
I am not.
He's a magician, comedian. He was the host of a show that was pretty popular called Cupcake Wars. It was a really good show.
Is he a comedian or is he just a magician?
He's more a magician that says funny stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Big difference.
But I thought maybe you might know him. You know, he's a pretty funny dude. He does have a lisp when he speaks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
he couldn't make that disappear?
See what you did there. I'm not touching the lisp part of this. just so we're clear.
I should have asked him that question.
Some magician he is.
I should have asked him that question.
Some magician he is.
That was actually very good.
The only thing, one thing that he did, though, that was not really.
I'm not touching the list part of that.
Why not?
Trouble again. Because every time I got hammered.
Every time I do it,
he does a list.
Yeah. If I do Shannon Sharp, I get drilled.
Oh, when you do the gay voice, you tend to have a lisp, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So his voice?
He totally does the gay voice. You know it.
Yeah, he does. It's pretty offensive.
Coons.
There it is.
It was just going to the bar to have some beers.
Yeah, that was definitely not the bar I was at. And there was, yeah, there wasn't a sign for slap fighting. There was just a sign for fighting. It was nope. Wasn't nope.
Okay. So you got
feel like we all
want
to stay away from this now.
No.
I just said lisp. That's the only word I said. And
I'm staying away from the
show
lisp.
Got so, off the rails.
So you were at the House of Blues for this or you were just there?
Yeah, I was.
Were you like, oh, sweet, there's this
no, bought tickets.
Funny magician with a lisp that I'm going to go see.
I didn't know he had a lisp. I don't even watch Cupcake Wars, like, the day that
What the hell is Cupcake Wars?
It's like, I guess you make the best cupcake and the best cupcake wins, I guess. I don't know.
This is what's on TV now? Cupcake
on the Food
Wars?
Network, yeah.
Like, who makes the best cupcakes?
I don't watch the show. I oh would totally God, watch the Food Network. I just don't watch that particular show.
All I know
show.
Is that there is a guy. I don't even know what his name is. But there's a guy in New York, and I'm sure someone's going to offer it up really quickly. But the fact that he has a small, like, bakery cupcake shop, and he is like a kingpin now.
The Cake Boss.
The Cake
yes,
Boss.
That's the Cake Boss.
I've seen that show.
He's pretty popular.
Yeah,
I've seen that show.
I've seen that show, too.
But there's a show where people just try to out-cupcake each other?
Yeah. I mean, you saw the Crave? When they brought Crave cupcakes, uh-huh. That's a thing. There's an art. There's a skill set dedicated
that's
to cupcakes.
Wife.
Believe, yeah.
No, I get it, but who would want to sit down 30 minutes at a time and watch two people out cupcake each other?
I see your point. You want to be the judge so you can try the cupcakes.
No, oh well, yeah, probably.
I would too, though. Let's be real.
That's probably why my eye twitches. Does that mean
too much sugar? Yeah.
Does that cause eye sugar. Twitching? But that just seems like some boring ass television.
Actually, I agree. Now, for television, I agree with you.
If you know, if he was making them levitate and talking with a lisp, that would probably make Cupcake Wars a lot more fun to me. But
that's you. That's Barry Laminack. Those are the words of Barry.
No,
Laminack.
Why, this is just information I'm processing. That's all. What are you trying to imply?
Nothing. I'm trying to stay out of your way, sir.
So you bought tickets for the show?
I did.
Okay, who made you buy these tickets? Because I know your no, dumbass
I did,
was
no.
not at home going.
No, my date, my
man,
date.
You
no,
know
my...
what? I need to go see a dude do magic
with a lisp.
I was going to say tell jokes, but okay, Joel Blank.
No, I answered that incorrectly. I did not buy the tickets.
I'm just stating the facts, Barry. I'm not doing
right.
imitations or impersonations.
No, okay, that's fine. And he is adept at fighting cupcakes. This is what you were looking at. Now, what show, when was this? What night?
This was Friday night.
So you left Beaumont and
no, Saturday night.
Home.
Saturday night.
Okay.
Might have been Saturday night.
Okay.
Saturday night.
So it was Saturday night.
Yeah.
And your date.
Bought the tickets.
Now, so you wanted to go see the host of Cupcake Wars. I'm sorry, your date wanted
she's
to go see.
She's a big fan of that show. She watches that show, so she's
you
a big fan
this
of Justin
does
Wilmer.
Nothing to squash the chubby Latina thing.
That's fine.
If your date is super into Cupcake Wars.
You are just rolling right now.
You totally re-sparked that.
Just
the,
now?
The whole chubby
just
Latina
now?
Thing
You're
died
damn right
out.
I did. I'm still bitter about the Instagram comment.
Yeah, evidently I missed
he
it.
Got 5 likes off of that. I was so pissed.
Man.
I was like, 5 likes? You son of a... Get out of here.
At
Get...
your expense?
Yes!
No,
awful! I'm not having that. It was pretty good. I even gave it a little laughy face. It was pretty funny. I was like, problem was, he goes, when you took this, you were yeah. fat. So this must have been a downtime in your career. His dumbass didn't know it was Friday.
Yeah, I know. I really didn't.
It was literally
I
Friday.
I thought it was a picture months ago.
So you took a, yeah, you took a picture from your Friday show in Tomball, used it for your Saturday
and he
gig.
Said, wow, this is old and you were fat. I'm like, bitch, this ain't old. This was Friday and I'm fat. Okay. If that's what hurt the most, not the likes, not the joke, because the joke was very funny. What hurt is that he thought it was an old picture of me being fat.
It was
fat.
The shirt. That don't wear
Friday.
That shirt. You got to change that
he
shirt.
He wore his Canadian
that's one of my
tuxedo.
Favorite. No, that was a polka dot shirt. That was just a blue, just a navy blue shirt.
Look, I'll even admit, Barry has the most fashion of the three of us, but that shirt did not. That did not.
What's wrong with that
it
shirt?
It made you look fat. It made you look fat.
No, the way I was leaning made me look fat. Also, my fat made me look fat. The fact that I have a gut made me look fat.
I totally thought it was
the shirt. Trust me, if I wasn't fat, that shirt wouldn't make me look fat. But when you're fat and you bend that way, people go, wow, he's fat. So
I genuinely believe it was an old picture, too. That's so funny.
Speaking of fat, that's what kills me. By the way. That's what kills me, is that you thought that that was years old and it was Friday. God, I hate you.
Man. I missed all of this on the gram, huh?
Yeah, on the gram. I'll show you how to use it one day.
Yeah, I'm on there.
He's on it now. He's all over it.
Yeah, I'm all over it.
He does it like bulk uploads. Like once every 9 months, he'll upload 50 pictures, and then you won't get any more pictures out of Joel for another year.
It does seem like that. You like go to your photo library.
50 more pictures.
I'll tell you what. At least I don't have to say, well, that was Friday. I can just get them out when I feel like
it. That's true.
And speaking of fat, by the way, did I tell you that Lisa has her own lift kit?
No, I forgot to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to really have to work on your segue.
No, she's pregnant. She's allowed.
Speaking of fat, did I tell you, Lisa, stop.
Because she's pregnant.
Hard stop. You got to not go that route.
So she...
I hope she's listening.
That's one thing he's comfortable doing. He's like, she's big as a house. Like, he always says
that. She's the one that offered this up. She goes, you should talk about this on the show. Because I came in unsuspecting the other day. And I see that, I walk in and she's got this big ass belt on. And I go, babe, you going out in the garage, you're going to knock out a few sets on the bench or something like that? And she goes, you're not fun. She goes, you haven't seen this yet? And I go, what the hell is that thing? She's having such a tough time with this pregnancy that the doctors prescribed almost like a elastic weightlifting belt that's supposed to take some of the pressure and the weight of the pregnancy, the way it's the baby's sitting off of her. It's almost like she was, I was like, well, then are you going to move the couch from like, or you're moving a chair from upstairs to downstairs? She goes, again, not funny. She goes, you think I want to wear this belt? I'm like, it just looks like it's just,
can we get a picture?
Doctors, I'll have to get a picture if she'll allow me to.
Right. Get your blessing first.
Yeah. But literally, it's almost like a combination of a weightlifting belt and like a hammock that's under her belly to lift it up. She has to wear it a certain amount of time during the day.
I'm Googling this.
And has to sit. And I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I thought it was
many jokes right now, and none of them are about Lisa. It's all about Nick. But I am just going to be so good.
Well, I mean, Nick, when she's done, I can bring it in. I just know that I wasn't expecting it, and then she wasn't really pleased that I asked if she was going out in the garage because we got a bench and weights in the issue. She was like, oh, yeah, that's real funny.
Super
like,
okay. Funny by you, huh?
Yeah. So, okay. So I got away.
Somebody said, what do you guys think of Brendan Schaub as a comedian? I thought about checking him out at the Improv in a couple of weeks. I worked with him. I thought he was funny. He tells a lot of stories about his past and fighting and all that. So I think if you're a fan of Brendan Schaub, you'll love the show.
I think you will, too. I mean, I liked him so much, I skipped Barry's performance and just went to Brendan Schaub. So
That's the kind of friendship we have.
Yeah. Your boys.
And I got him those tickets.
But your boys. He really did.
I got him those tickets, and he skipped my show. And just caught and didn't even catch all of Brendan Schaub's show. It was the last 20 minutes because, of course, he and his boyfriend were at the what?
It wasn't my boyfriend, but it
okay,
was.
Okay, now hold on. Was he a friend of yours?
He was.
Was he a boy?
Possibly.
Okay. So Nick and his boyfriend made the last 15 minutes of the show because they had other things they were doing, other priorities.
Not in Kuntz.
No, at the Brendan Schaub. Yeah. I think you just look for a reason to say Koontz.
Sometimes.
No, this was at the Houston Improv. But no, I think if you're a fan of Schaub, you would really enjoy the show. So if you are a fan of his, you should definitely go.
I think you would too, because what I caught, I really enjoyed, for sure.
There you go.
No joking about it.
Well, there you have it. We have one segment to go on the show. We're going to put a bow on it next, turn it over to the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7, all right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Final segment of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday. Fun day. Appreciate you always being suspects of the show and taking us with you every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4. As we wrap this thing up, and as we do, we scan the globe. We cover some ground in the final segment.
Yeah, somebody had texted about Le'Veon Bell and what was his status. I think you said last time you saw it was he was playing.
As the last I had seen, he still had every intention of playing tonight, and there was no structural damage to, was it the chest, shoulder?
I show him still as questionable, but this is the latest from, this is September 14th on ESPN, on the complete injury report for the team. So lots of questionables. I still show him as questionable. So if you're asking for fantasy purposes, you're really just going to have to watch right up until game time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So... Because
it MRI came clean, and I'm assuming they're doing that on purpose and not announcing it, or maybe
it could be a little gamesmanship on their part.
Maybe.
But, they also, people were expecting Adam Vinatieri to announce his retirement because he's just been so awful, but apparently Frank Wright came out and said that he's still their kicker.
Correct.
Even after Jim Irsay said it's been an issue, and...
Well, there's no doubt it's been an issue.
Well, it's been really bad. Irsay just said it's cause for concern, but then he know he wants to do well, but he's just not. So, yeah, they definitely have some issues.
I felt like he's definitely struggling, but I felt like the hate was a little unwarranted, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, kickers are always
when you suck, you
hate.
Suck, I guess.
That's true.
And on the flip side, the Bears finally got a kicker because much like the way the Texans-Saints game ended, the Bears took – victory right out of the jaws of defeat yesterday as Eddie Pinheiro hit a 53-yarder in the Mile High City on the final play of the game after the Bears got down with 1 second left in field goal range and made everybody in Chicago take a deep breath because they could have started 0-2.
That's right.
That would have been the capper to a great weekend for me. It didn't go that way.
Solved their kicking woes.
Pissed me off.
Did it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just being honest.
Somebody texted the show and said, Barry, what do you think about Shane Gillis getting fired before he even got started? That's worse than Friday-level firing. Are you guys familiar with this whole Shane Gillis story?
No, I'm not.
I'm not. Enlighten me.
So Shane Gillis is a comedian out of Philadelphia. He, along with two other people, were hired to be new cast members of Saturday Night Live. And then, as is the case in our culture now a lot, people go and try to find dirt on people when they make it.
Sure.
And somebody found an old podcast that Shane Gillis did where he said a lot of horribly racist things about Asians, used the C word, and he was replacing his L's with R's. And to me, the egregious thing was the C word. And then, of course, he was trying to be funny, but he was being racist at the same time. And it's kind of come back to haunt him now because – we're in this quote cancel culture where he basically, because of what he did, the uproar ensued. And even friends of mine, Sun Tran's a friend of mine who was also a comedian, and he was livid. He's Asian. And he was like, yo, that's just racist, you know? And some people were trying to say, no, it's not that big of a deal. It's a joke. He's like, it's a joke, but it's still racist.
Well, we talked about how I'm not saying Chappelle is a racist, but he'll toe that line. He'll cross the line. And we kind of should give, or I feel like we should give comedians their freedom when they're on stage. Does the podcast platform change that? The fact that it's a podcast, but isn't it technically a stand-up comedian platform, even though it's his personal podcast? I'm not trying to justify what he said because I didn't even hear the comments.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying... That was supposed to be the one spot where you have complete verbal freedom and be able to say whatever you want because your whole goal and intention is to make someone laugh.
On a podcast or on stage?
On stage.
Yeah, on stage.
So my question is, the podcast platform different?
No, I think it depends on who you are and what you're trying to do. So it was him and another white guy, and they're just basically saying how awful Chinatown is and the buildings are crap. And they're like, we went and got some neuters. Instead of saying noodles. And then they kept doing that. And then they were like, yeah, it was awful. And then he used the C word. He's like, yeah, it's just a bunch of C-words living in Chinatown. That's when I was like, oh, that's a problem. If you would have just done the neuters and the noodles,
I think
you
probably might have got by.
You're fine. But when you start using an actual racial slur.
Yeah.
I think society's changed, too, though. I think that this has heightened awareness on everything, too. That doesn't help him. Not that I'm trying to justify it. I'm just saying, Nick, to your point when you're asking the question about the difference between being on stage and like a podcast, nothing is sacred. There's no safety zone anymore. Anything you say can and will be used against you anywhere at any time.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate, I just feel like, a little bit. To a certain extent for the comic. I'm not a comic. I'm not an artist. I'm just saying that's supposed to be the one platform where you can almost get away with anything.
You would think. And his statement was, when it first surfaced about 6 days ago, he said, I'm a comedian who pushes boundaries. I sometimes miss. If you go through my 10 years of comedy, most of it is bad. You're going to find a lot of bad misses. I'm happy to apologize to anyone who's actually offended by anything I've said. My intention is never to hurt anyone, but I'm trying to be the best comedian I can be. And sometimes that requires risk. And I disagree a little bit. There is some risk involved. And, I mean, I take risks on this show.
I think we all do.
Yeah, but I think that there's also stopping when you're using racial slurs. Now, I will also say this. Do I think that Shane Gillis is a racist? No. I think there is a big difference between saying something racist and being a racist. Do I think that he, you know, wants to live in an all-white society and, you know, doesn't want anybody from any other race and his master race and he's going to Klan rallies and he's got swastika tattoos? I think none of that. I think he said something racist. I don't think he is racist.
But I think, Barry, one of the things you've...
I understand why SNL is like, nope.
Sure, totally, absolutely. And that's, again, where anything you say can and will be used against you, even when you don't want it to be expected to be or think it should be. And I think that where I was going with this is you're funny enough as a comedian that you don't have to rely on a word or words that are offensive to try and get a laugh.
Yeah.
You do enough, even on this show, to get people to laugh by just calling attention to the fact that there might be a certain demographic that does certain
sure.
work. But that's part of the art form.
And that's
form.
Okay.
And that's an art form.
Getting to that line, but not crossing.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I'm sure I've said things that are offensive, but at the same time, I don't think anyone's ever going to tell you I'm racist. Right.
No, like there's thing from it.
There's that tiptoeing to the line and pushing the boundaries for comedy and for the joke. And then there's going too far and on occasion, you go too far. It's kind of like the guy that was Kramer on...
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. He was on stage and caught up in the moment and he yelled the N-word out. Do we think that Kramer's racist? No. And it ruined his career.
Oh, it sure did.
It ruined his career, but he said something racist. And that's what you have to be careful of.
Michael, I forget.
Yeah. But he also, Gillis, 42 minutes ago, released another statement. He said, I'm a comedian who was funny enough to get SNL. That can't be taken away. Of course I wanted an opportunity to prove myself at Saturday Night Live, but I understand it would be too much of a distraction. I respect the decision they made. I'm honestly grateful for the opportunity. I was always a mad TV guy anyway. So he's trying to get a laugh there.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is for me, and I know a lot of my friends and comedians, whatever, but he never genuinely apologized. He just said, if you're offended, I'm sorry. But he never... Now, there are some comics that'll tell you, I've never apologized for a joke.
But best
no
believe
matter what
his
that
ways.
Joke is.
Best believe he should change his ways, because every time he thinks about the exposure and the opportunity and the paycheck that he would have gotten from NBC, that'll remind you in a very, very clear way.
But it was also a situation where how old was the podcast when he said it?
11 months.
I mean, he forgot about it, bro.
Yeah.
Remember what? I don't remember what I said last week.
Here's the thing that the guy that quote exposed him, I went to the tweet. And I just said, hey, my question is, if you knew about this 11 months ago, why did you sit on it? You're just sitting on this to get your own run and clicks.
Well, right when he gets an opportunity, that's when you...
Exactly.
It's the whole Larry Tunsil thing.
So it's very self-serving by the person that, quote, exposed Shane Gillis. They just did it for their own notoriety and fame. They didn't give a crap about Shane Gillis or what he said.
Well, I would.
It was very obvious.
And right. You know what? Not every whistleblower gets a lot of notoriety and fame. So I don't know if it's a smart move.
Yeah, that's true.
Smart move would be to follow us and listen every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on The Usual Suspects. But we're out. Blitz is in. They're coming up next. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5.